look at his will and his promises. Remember when we talked about endurance, for you have need of endurance, so after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promises. And the will of God is an important part of those, after we've done the will of God. And that thought sort of came out when I went over to the jail on Sunday and was talking with my friends there and encouraging them that the promises of God are good for anybody who does the will of God. And that, you know, they agreed that they probably weren't doing the will of God to get there, but encouraged that they could do the will of God and change all of that. It's nothing for God to help. Nothing for God to take a Jacob who was a supplanter and make him a prince with God. If we'll do the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. So the will of God and the promises of God, we need to know the will of God. Now, the enemy tries to make it confusion. Religion tries to make it confusing. You know, well, boy, who can really know the will of God? Well, the will of God is found in the peace of God that passes understanding. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I always do what the Father wants me to do. My will is to do the will of him who sent me. And the same anointing, the Spirit of God that was upon him, that same anointing, that same Spirit, and there isn't one Holy Spirit for Jesus and another Holy Spirit for us. There's one Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So the same Spirit that was on Jesus, he sent us to comfort us. And it should be a comfort to us to know that the Holy Spirit is empowering and enabling us and guiding us to do the will of God just the way that Jesus did the will of God. The enemy does not want us to grasp that. He does not want us to walk in that. And he finds people, principalities, and powers everywhere that will argue against the will of God. We know this is true. We know that Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. And they knew the will of God. They walked with God. They knew his will. They knew fellowship with him. They knew relationship with him. And things were going pretty good until the enemy snuck in and said, it's not quite the way that God says. You know, Eve could have sought counsel. She could have taken what the enemy said and tested to see whether or not it was God. She could have gone to Adam and said, Adam, this is what the serpent said. And Adam could have said, well, let's just talk to God. We've got a relationship with God. We can just ask him. We could just go to the Father and say, you know, you said this and the serpent says this, and what do you think? And God would have said, what do you think? Because sometimes that's all God has to say is, well, what do you think? What do you think about that. Not what do you prefer, not anything like that, but what do you think about that based on what you know from your study of the Word, based on what you know from what the Spirit of the Lord has said to you? What do you think about that? What do you think is really the right thing to do? But they didn't do that. Eve said, well, that's a pretty good argument. That sounds reasonable to me. And the fruit does look good, and it appeals to me, and I'm going to have a bite of it. And it was good to eat, and she said to Adam, Adam, this is good, have a bite. And Adam had a bite. And thus ended the walk with God for them in the garden. And he had to put them out of the garden so that they would not eat of the tree of life and live forever in the fallen state. God does not want us to live in a fallen state. He doesn't want us to live. He doesn't want us to have to suffer for our wrong choices even. He's made a way out of our wrong choices. He's made a way out of our sins. And from that point forward, the will of God was what? That no one would perish. And the will of God was, as you must be born again. And so the will of God, before we can have the promises of God, the very first will of God that anyone since the garden has to experience is born again. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that doesn't mean, yes, I believe that Jesus existed. That means I call upon his name. That means I've received Christ. That means I'm born again. Once I'm born again, then the promises are mine, correct? Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the manifestation of the promise is as quick in all things as it is in salvation. Salvation's instantaneous. But even though salvation is instantaneous, there's a lot of times when we don't act saved. We don't act transformed. We don't act brand new, but we are new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We are, in fact, changed. Being transformed by the renewing of our minds, but we don't manifest so well sometimes. And from time to time, things come up in our lives and we don't manifest because we don't really want to manifest. Because we know, I mean, when we are born again and full of the Spirit of God and walking in the power of God, we know what's right. We know when we are being checked in the Spirit. We know when our peace has left. We know it. We also know how to excuse it. We also know how to push it aside. We also know how to press it down so that we can go on in the way that we want to go on. But how many times do we yield ourselves to those things that we know we shouldn't yield ourselves to, and later when we cast down those imaginations and everything is the way it should be, how often do we then say, I wish I would have done that right away? The couldas and the wouldas, and if the onlys, if only. The worst thing we can do is begin to do if only somebody else would have done something. We need to always look at ourselves and say, if only I would have done something. Did I, have I walked according to the will of God? That you should abound more and more, Paul says in Thessalonians. That you should abound more and more. In other words, we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we ought to walk and to please God. When do we feel the best? We feel the best when we are pleasing God, don't we? And we feel the worst when we're not. And isn't it so nice that even when we are not pleasing God, there is no condemnation from God. Never any condemnation from God. Conviction by the Holy Spirit, yes. But only love from the Father. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts the world, convicts us of sin and in righteousness and of judgment. He convicts us, but God just continues to love us and draw us by the Spirit. And so we have a conviction and a stroking going on at the same time. Just come on, it'll be all right. I can make it go away, but you got to come to me, because this is my will, that you come to me. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After we've done the will of God. So what is that perfect will of God? Romans says that we submit ourselves, therefore, totally to God. Present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Being not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Is it bad? Oh, batteries.
So that we are not conformed, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we can prove what that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. Transformed so we can prove. What is that perfect and acceptable will of God? Because the will of God opens the door to the promises of God. Born again opened the door to salvation. Salvation opens the door to all of salvation. All of the promises of God. Everyone, everywhere would like to have the promises of God, wouldn't they? That's what everybody longs for, is the promises of God. They just don't recognize it as the promises of God. That you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Everybody wants health. Everybody wants wealth. Everybody wants strength. Everybody wants peace. Everybody would like to have it all. But they don't want to give the glory of God to get glory to God to get it. But that's what they want. That's what I want. Isn't it what you want? Well, the whole world wants that. They want what God has for the saved. They want it. The devil wants it. The devil would love to have all the promises of God. But he blew his chance. And hell is reserved for him and his angels. And because he can't have it, guess what? He wants to keep everybody that he can from having it. What spirit is it that wants to keep someone else from success? It's the devil. What spirit is it that wants to keep people from getting closer to God? It's the devil. Who despises prophesying? The devil. Who despises the joy of the Lord? The devil. He despises those things. Who hates when people pray? The devil. So then, if someone doesn't like those things of God, what spirit is influencing them? The devil. Ooh, that's pretty harsh. No, that's just a fact. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So some have given themselves as servants to that. Not viciously, maybe, not maliciously, but so deceived. Was Eve malicious? No, she was deceived. Did she intend to end the relationship with God in the garden? No, she was just deceived. Do we intend to despise God? No, But we're deceived, and we do sometimes. We despise the things of God. We doubt the things of God. And when you doubt something, you despise them. In the truest sense of the word, we think there's a big difference between the two, but there isn't a big difference between the two. If we refuse to do the will of God, then we despise God. And we despise what he stands for. We think, oh, I would never despise God. But in the heavenlies, and the angels, they look and they say, look what you've done for them. And they despise you. What are we going to do, Father? And the devil says, see, they despise you. They don't really love you. They don't really care about you. God doesn't pay any attention to him. Because God sent forth his Spirit to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He filled us with his Spirit to draw us to him. What we have is a desire for the will of God. That needs to be our first and foremost desire. What is your will? Jesus said, my will is to do the will of him who sent me. Oh, boy, that's a burdened life. No, it's not. I don't think Jesus walked around burdened. Once in a while, he said, oh, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you in. Once he yelled, let all who thirst come unto me and drink. But most of the time, he was just telling them about the kingdom of God and how good the kingdom of God is. Why do people dislike the goodness of the kingdom of God? Why do they have something against it? Why do people seem to think that God is an oppressor? That there's something wrong if we expect God to be a father when he said, I want to be your father. That people have ought against people who say, you know, God wants to bless me. God's the one that said it. We're just supposed to agree with him, aren't we? So that we can be examples to believers and unbelievers. God's good. I'm not going to get into all the stuff that other people are into. I'm going to get into God. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm going to do what Eve should have done, and I'm going to go and I'm going to say, okay, Father, what do you say? You know, God is so good, he'll tell us when we're wrong and he'll tell us when we're right. He'll correct us. But then we've got to receive that correction. We've got to say, oh, now I see. Now I understand. Yeah. Rachel and I have a lot of conversations like that. Yeah, I never thought about it, but now I see. It's good that we see. It doesn't really matter how long we don't see, as long as we start to see, isn't it? I was 30 years old. I never saw how good God is. Never saw a need for salvation. But when I saw, I didn't feel like I needed to put in 30 years trying to get it when I could have it. And as soon as I understood that it was mine when I asked, glory to God. For this is the will of God. And after you've done the will of God, then you can receive the promise. But it takes endurance sometimes to receive the promise. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us about people who did great exploits, but some of them died still having not received the promise, but they were looking forward to it. In my movie, Fiddler on the Roof, they would say, oh, next year in Jerusalem. Looking forward to the return because they believed it was coming. Oh, the promises. Joseph knew that they would get out of Egypt, and he made them promise to take his bones with him. If he didn't go before he died, take my bones with you. Guess what? His bones went. And he died looking for the promise, not regretting, not complaining, but confident that God would keep his promise. Isn't it a better way to live, confident that God's going to keep his promises, than rejected and dejected because it just doesn't look like God's keeping his promises? I've prayed and prayed, and God hasn't done anything. I don't know why God isn't doing something. That's just a false statement. God's doing something. What are we doing, though? Because it's after we've done the will of God that we can receive the promise. Is it the will of God that we complain, pray about something, and then complain about the very thing that we prayed about? Or is it the will of God that we pray about it and give thanks to God for answering and allow the peace of God that passes understanding to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus so that we can say, hey, I prayed about it. Not going there, I prayed about it. Not entertaining those thoughts, I prayed about it. Not going to talk about that, I prayed about it. Let's pray about it. Then let's not talk about it. Let's go with what God is saying. Let's not get caught up. In our family, with the death of a cousin, you know, part of the family wants to get caught up in what people are going to say. I prayed about it. I ain't going to talk about it. There isn't anything to talk about. There's nothing to be concerned about. God is able. God's good, or he ain't God. So, why get caught up in it? Why try to figure it out? Some things you don't need to figure out. If it needs to be figured out, God can tell you what it is. When God tells you, it's it. But until then, ain't going to talk about it. Ain't going there. Prayed about it. For this is the will of God. Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Despise not prophesying, for this is the will of God. So, after we've done the will of God, we can receive the promises. But we can't think that we're going to receive the promises if we haven't done the will of God. Many people, I heard someone today talking about there was a couple that was 80 years old that went to Bible school because they'd been to church all their lives and never knew they needed to be born again. They went to a place, found out they needed to be born again, and after they got born again, they wanted to do something fruitful. So they went to Bible college. And they asked the woman what she was going to do. She said, I'm going to work with youth. She's 80 years old. She had some things to tell the youth. But never knew that there was any call for fruitfulness. Never understood being born again. But once they were born again. No sense in worrying about the first 80 years. Get on with the things of God. Rejoice forevermore. Despise not prophesying. Pray without ceasing. Or you might say, quit complaining, receive the word of God, and pray. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I know that they talk about the thing that itches the worst gets the scratch, or a dog that barks a lot scares the most people, or something like that. But you know, even when people complain and get their way, do they get their way? Do they get any peace? Nah, people just quit talking to them. Does it accomplish anything? But would praying accomplish something? If nothing else, if praying just keeps us from talking and gets us to thinking, I've done the will of God, now I'm going to wait for the promise. I'm waiting for the promise. I've got endurance for the promise because I've done the will of God. I This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if we're doers of the word, then we can endure with confidence. If we've done the will of God. The Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. I fought a good fight. I'm ready. Are we ready to receive the promises of God? Before we can receive them, we need to be ready to do the will of God. And when we've done the will of God, then we can be examples of what people are like that have done the will of God. Confident in the promises of God. Always checking, always making sure. Today, Lord, what should I do today? What should I do about this, Lord? Might not need to do anything about some things. Might need to just endure to receive the promise. Because you've done the will of God. Because you've asked God and God has said, do this. Now, he might tell us to do one thing and do one thing and do one thing and then all of a sudden say, okay, now do this. Because while we've been waiting patiently upon the Lord has been working. The Holy Spirit has been wooing. Everything has been going and now is the time. The promises of God are tied to the will of God. We get the promises by doing the will. We do the will by finding out what the will is. Some of the will we know because we know what the Word says. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That needs to be what we're seeking for all the time in everything. So that then we can do a little jig of, oh yeah, thank you, Jesus. And hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I like that. Isn't it nice that we can hear the voice of God like that? Isn't it nice that we can be among others who when we say that, will say, oh yeah, I believe that. Not sit back and go, oh, I doubt that. I doubt that. A little bit too much like one of those. I want to be one of those to the nth degree. I want to become exponentially more radical. I want to be like David, who said, oh, that ain't nothing. I'll do even more next time. When we know the will of God and when we've done the will of God, we should be excited about the promises of God. So that we can say, look what the Lord has done. So that we can have the same confidence, you know, that our bones will get carried out if that's the case. But we're looking forward to something. Not hanging on miserably so that maybe if the stars line up right, we might show up in heaven. But instead, this is the hope that we have, and this is the confidence that we have, and this is the endurance that we have, that when we pray, we know God hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the things that we ask of Him. What is so wrong with that? How could anyone have anything against that? Why would somebody say, don't be so sure? I know what my cell phone number is. I know exactly what my cell phone number is. And I know that if somebody calls that number, it's going to ring into this phone. I know it. I'm absolutely sure of it. Well, you know, there could be some sort of a glitch in the system, you know, and it might not work. It might not. And you know what? Sometimes somebody will send me a text message in the night and it won't come in till the morning, but it still works. Once we've done the will of God, then we can receive the promise. So if you've done the will of God, Just as sure as you asked Jesus into your heart and he came in, every other thing, every other promise of God is yours in Christ Jesus. And this is the will of God. The will of God is that you believe on the Son of God, that you believe what he said. If you don't believe what Jesus said, then you're despising God. And we are not going to be people who despise God. Amen? Father in heaven, we can endure with joy waiting for the promises after we've done your will. So show us your will, Lord. Teach us your ways. Show us your paths. Lead us in a way that is everlasting from now until the day that we enter your kingdom, enter your presence in heaven. For now we are blessed with your presence here and we are in the kingdom of God here. And how could it be any better? We don't know. But we have this promise that it'll be even more wonderful. We want to enter into even a greater joy of the Lord. But Father, my prayer is that you will find us practicing continually the presence of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.